Let us pray. Loving God, I look to you and you alone for my salvation. I will trust you and not be afraid, for you are my stronghold and my sure defense, and you will be my Savior. Amen. One of the best things about church, for me at least, has been the opportunity to get to know my elders, to learn from them and try to follow their examples. For some years I attended no church, and the only older people I knew were the managers and big shots in the city government where I worked. Most of these people hardly seemed much at all like people I could admire or emulate. It was only when I became a member of St. Michael's Church in Vancouver that I got to know some really fine people who served as examples for me in my daily life. Many of them had been lifelong Anglicans and understood the liturgy as well as the theology of the church. They also knew hundreds of hymns and chants from the Book of Common Prayer. I too was grounded in these ancient forms, having been an altar boy and sincere Christian during the early part of my adolescence. When I started to attend St. Michael's, the service was quite familiar to me, even though the church I had attended as a boy was many decades and thousands of miles distant. At the time I became a member of St. Michael's, that parish was still conducting most of their services from the Book of Common Prayer, or BCP as we usually called it. I had the particular pleasure of often leading services of morning and evening prayer, sung services which had a dignity and beauty, which I found very moving. I've been thinking about these elders who so influenced me in the 80s and 90s because of recent events here at St. David and St. Paul. In a very short period of time, we have lost three of our most precious elders, Barb and Al and Ruth, and I, for one, feel very alone and bereaved. Like many of you here, I am already an orphan, having lost both of my parents quite a few years ago. There was a moment once in the past when my mother Gerda and my Aunt Louie were talking about old times and family. Aunt Louie had a sudden realization and said to my mother, "Now, we are the elders. Uncle Dave and Aunt Marcia and all the others are now gone. How can we be the elders?" Just then, both of them realized that it was hardly even conceivable that they had the wisdom or knowledge or maturity to take the place those people who had always supported them and been there for them. Now, my mother and aunt and all the others from their generation are gone, as are their parents and uncles and aunts, and there's no one left to be the elders, except a few of us. We try to remember what we were taught when we were young. People have always tried to remember the words of the wise. They wrote these words down and preserved the good things as art and scripture. The hope was that all people do some bad things, but there should be some way that we can learn from the experiences and mistakes of those who came before us. Furthermore, some of those people in the past did some concrete things to make our lives a little better. Some people built fine homes and schools. Some cleared and cultivated the land so that we would be well fed generation after generation. Some people found ways whereby people could live near each other in peace and harmony. Losing these people from our lives one by one is one of the saddest parts about personally aging. Soon even our own classmates and childhood friends start to disappear. This is a sad time of the year for many people, maybe particularly for aging people. One great terror we face is the realization that after our short period of time on earth, we may be leaving the place in worse shape than when we found it. Oh, if we could only feel that great rush of joy that Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge felt when he realized that it was not too late, that there was still a little time left to make amends, to right some wrongs, to do some meaningful good. Well, actually, we do still have a little time left. Today, December 16th, is just 5 days from the winter solstice, also officially the first day of winter. In other words, we are very close to the shortest, darkest day of the year. But that also means that after Friday, each day will be brighter and longer than the day before. Part of the meaning of Christmas itself is reminding us of the hope for a new morning, a new day, and a new year. Still one more chance to make our lives be what we hoped they would be. Our scriptures for today tell us of change soon to come. John Baptist warns the crowds which come for baptism, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John calls on people to change their ways and look for the good news to come. In the season of Advent and Christmas, we are looking forward expectantly to the birth of the Messiah and his coming again. As we just sang, "People look east, the time is near of the crowning of the year. People look east and sing today, love the Lord is on the way." This season marks the beginning of renewal and of new things. We are anticipating all kinds of changes ahead in the year to come. The first big event here will surely be the arrival of our refugee family, Mezgin, Ramazan, Janshir, Halaz, and Abdullah. As my aunt said a long time ago, we are the elders now. We may not feel qualified or worthy of being the elders, but there is no one else. Trying to assist these displaced people will be a challenge for us and bring us up close to the kind of changes we will all face politically, economically, socially, and personally in the years to come. We try to remember the example set by our own elders, people like Al and Barb and Ruth, and do our best to serve in the same way as best we can. We learn from these three that if we have faith, our faith will bring us hope, and hope will even bring us joy, even in dark times. We see the coming light, even on the dark days. I'd like to conclude with some of Ruth's own words from her book, There's Always More. "All the world's a Bethlehem, a roughly crude, unlikely stall. Jesus is born in my backyard, or he's not born at all." Amen.